Okay, we're ready to roll. Welcome to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman, joined by my next guest, our business litigation reporter, Mark Furman. Mark from Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers. How are you, Mark?
I'm great, Jonathan. Great to be with you.
Always good to be with you. You always bring timely and topical things to the table. You have some interesting stuff for us on Radio Entrepreneurs today.
So I wanted to talk about DraftKings and FanDuel. We've talked about it before, but you know they've been under attack here in the United States, and certain states have tried to ban their entire business model as constituting illegal gambling. And more developments on that front were Hawaii decided that it's illegal gambling, and they DraftKings stopped doing business in Hawaii in the last few days, and they're trying to get the legislature in Hawaii to pass a law that makes it legal. They have left Nevada. They've been declared illegal in other states. The New York Attorney General has sued them to declare their entire business model illegal. So you would think that this could be an existential threat to the entire business model, but maybe not. You know, businesses have to be always looking out for new opportunities. And I was reading this morning very interesting story about DraftKings going international, that they already have received a license from the United Kingdom's Gambling Commission, allowing it to operate gambling software and pool betting in the country. And so they're working on, they've also cut marketing deals with Premier League soccer teams. I guess the folks in the UK would call it proper football, but specifically the Liverpool team and Arsenal. The Liverpool team is owned by Fenway Sports Group, the principal owner of which is John Henry, who also owns the Red Sox and the Boston Globe. So this is going to be really a gigantic business opportunity and step one in an international plan to bring this business all over the globe.
So it's interesting, Mark, because to note that you know, some of their challenges have been on a state level in this country, but they seem to be getting national licenses. I guess different laws in different countries in terms of regulation of gaming and betting.
It's state to state specific here in the U.S., but here they have a license in the UK, throughout the UK, and they estimate there are 850,000 to 1 million potential daily fantasy sports players in the UK alone. They project that the market in the UK alone could be worth $60 to $100 million in entry fees once the games are launched.
That's a lot of folks sitting around the pub.
I guess so. And you know, you know, soccer is obviously just a very passionate sports game in throughout Europe and certainly in the UK. So it's interesting because it shows how, you know, businesses have to bob and weave, right? And always every business has challenges. And, you know, this particular industry has, you know, the legal backdrop is a huge challenge in the United States. You know, Mara Healey, our Attorney General in Massachusetts, has said that it's okay to have these fantasy sports games, but she's proposed these regulations that will certainly make it less profitable in Massachusetts. For example, she doesn't want anyone under 21 to be able to bet. And the companies have allowed people 18 and older to bet. So there's a
large group.
It's
all great in theory, but it's very hard to control when you start talking about the internet. I mean, just because somebody states that they're 21 years old and signs a disclaimer or what have you, I mean, very hard to protect against that.
Yeah, I think that's true. But there, also, she wants there to be a limit on how much people can bet. She also wants to prohibit betting on college sports. So anyway, there's going to be eventually final regulations here in Massachusetts, but it looks like the business in some form will survive in Massachusetts. I think from things that Governor Baker has said, he doesn't think it should be illegal for people to bet. So we'll have to see how that all plays out. In New York, the Attorney General got an injunction from the trial court prohibiting them from doing business in New York, New York being one of the biggest markets in the country. However, DraftKings FanDuel was able to get a stay of that injunction pending appellate review of the decision of the trial court. So they're operating, but there's a lot of pressure on payment processors and, and how much... when the regulators put the pressure on, it gets everybody a little bit concerned, needless to say. So
now the restrictions, the restrictions in a place like New York, if they can't operate there, means that presumably they cannot accept an IP address that comes out of a New York jurisdiction. But I would imagine it's harder for them to control that. What I imagine, regulators can do is shut down their ability to advertise and to promote the business in those states. Because that's a lot more visible I think that, in theory, some of these things are great, but it's hard to regulate.
I think it is, but, we're talking about criminal laws and, DraftKings' response seems to have been where they're persuaded that that they can't win in court. They just stop doing business there, although perhaps they take into account how big the market is because, Hawaii is a small market. They're not fighting there in the courts. I think they're trying to have the political process save them. But New York, which is a giant market, they're fighting it out in court, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're not simultaneously trying to appeal to legislators to clarify the laws to make it clear that it is legal in some form. But this international market, just think about how large it could be. When we talk about this kind of money for the UK alone, how big soccer is in Europe, and basically all the countries in Europe, and this could spread, Asia, Africa, Middle East. I mean, it's a big world, Australia, New Zealand, and the market for these games seems to be just enormous. So I don't think, seems like we're a long way from these companies going out of business due to regulatory pressure, and that they have opportunities that could be incredibly profitable. They really seem to be onto something where there's people like to do it.
And it's a big world out there. So I think your point is well taken for any business that, you know, if you run into an obstacle or a hurdle, you know, look for another market or look for another opportunity to expand.
Certainly, and that's, I mean, that's what you do in your business, is you try to help folks overcome obstacles, and every business has them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We'll keep our eye on the story, and you know, the other big sports-related thing is we're waiting for oral argument in the Deflategate appeal by the NFL from the decision of the district court overturning the four-game suspension of Tom Brady. So that'll be coming up in a few weeks, and that's a huge deal in sports.
Now, is
on
that,
the legal side.
Is there a statute of limitations on that? And in other words, so it's overturned, which means he's been able to play since the accusation. Does what happens if he retires at some point, you know, before this stuff is settled?
Well, if he retires, he won't be suspended, obviously. But if, you know, the more likely scenario, I think, is that the Second Circuit Court of Appeals will have the final word on this, and that they'll issue a decision before the start of the 2016 season. And so if the commissioner is successful, Brady will probably miss the first four games of the 2016 season. He'll be under suspension, and you know, it's hard to see this case going to the United States Supreme Court. That would be the last possible thing. But I think in all likelihood, the road will end to the legal process at the Second Circuit.
Now, is this a case because of the nature of it that has been fast tracked? Because it seems that, you know, it's been heard relatively quickly. And is that what happens in situations where there's a time element associated, or is it because of the profile of the case?
It depends. It's really up to the judges, but you know, judges try to accommodate the time frame. Here you have a both parties came to Judge Berman's court asking for a decision before the season began, and they proposed a fast track schedule, and he was willing to accommodate them, and he came out with his decision. So and I do see that, you know, a lot in a you know, not long ago I had a case where, you know, my client was seeking an injunction, and, you know, what the court did and the parties agreed to this was, okay, well, let's have a quick trial. And so we ended up having a quick trial 4 months later. Mm-hmm. So starting point of injunction period through trial was, you know, quite quick, but the circumstances demanded it, and fortunately the court was able to accommodate it.
Okay, so that's a case-by-case basis where the court can accommodate something if they see fit, if the circumstances warrant it.
Yes, they can, but, you know, one of the things lawyers try to do is make sure that things proceed, if there's an emergency, to try to get them heard in a time frame that works for the parties, particularly the party one represents. But, you know, there's a whole lot of cases, they just take a long time to get to trial if there's no injunction involved, if there's no real emergency. And, you know, here in Massachusetts, you know, it can take, you know, a number of years to get a trial on a, what I'll call a, you know, traditional type of case suing for money damages.
Right.
But the party, if you win damages, you do collect interest on the judgment. So that's, in a way, compensating you for the, you know, for the delay if it turns out you won. And in fact, under in the state courts in Massachusetts, the interest rate is a very high 12%.
Eighties interest.
That's a lot better than my bank is giving me and the money in my checking account, which is probably 0.01%.
That's for sure. Great stuff, Mark. We'll have to check back in on the DraftKings FanDuel case. It seems to be a topical and ongoing, and lessons learned for entrepreneurs and businesses as well. And I think you've given our listeners some great points to think about in the context of their own businesses. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, Mark, the best way to reach you is?
I can be reached at mfurman, F-U-R-M-A-N, at tbhr-law.com or at 617-218-2025.
You're listening to Radio Entrepreneurs on the Radio Entrepreneurs Network. I'm Jonathan Friedman in the studio, and that was Mark Furman from Tarlow Breed, Hart & Rogers, and we'll be right back with another segment on Radio Entrepreneurs.